All right. You can turn in your Bibles to Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Chapter 10, verse 12. And as all of you know, I was not ready to preach this week. But I did have a message ready that I've been working on for a few months now. I wrote it all during the quarantine, and it's just something that's really been on my heart. And the title of the message is A Surrender to the Heart of God. I'll wait for pages to stop turning. Okay. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you." So I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk about fallow ground. What is fallow ground? Fallow ground is land that is left idle for a season after plowing and harrowing, so that weeds and insects are killed while the soil regains its fertility. It is land that could be productive, but for whatever reason, has not been broken up, tilled, plowed, and prepared for planting. The prophets speaking the word of the Lord in the scripture are commanding the people to break up that land. I believe that that is spiritually. They're telling them to break up the land spiritually. To plow the plowable land that they have. The prophets observe two things here. The fallow ground is unusable, and the fallow ground is unused. Unplowed ground won't let a crop grow. It's hard, preventing seeds from penetrating, growing to maturity. And also, Jeremiah 4:3, I think we have it up on the board. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not thorns among you. So in other words, they were sowing the seeds, but they didn't bother to, prepare the soil and pull out the thorns, and the seed had little effect. In this particular verse and context, they were either lazy, they were stupid, or they were both. When you apply this analogy to yourself or spiritual things, what must be done so the soil is ready for God's word? Now first, what must be done to prepare your heart for the word of God is stumps and roots must be removed in your life. Let me ask you a question. What's been growing inside of your heart? Is it hatred? Is it bitterness? Is it lust? Is it greed? These things must be removed for a new crop, so that new crop can flourish. Grain doesn't flourish under the shade of trees. They must be removed so the new crop can grow in light. Now second, the hardness must be removed. Let me ask you another question. Where is that hardness in your heart? Where is the unbelief that's lurking in your heart? If you've been hurt in a relationship, if you've been hurt by your father, your mother, anyone in your life, really, you may have sealed off that area in your life because it's just too painful to go there. But what you need to do is you need to let God break up those old hurts. He'll pull the plow. But you have to direct him to those old hurts. You have to direct him to those hard places that you know must be dealt with. You know it's there, and you know you've sealed it off, but you have cut it off to everyone, including the Lord. I believe sometimes we can be hardened by our unbelief. This has happened to me before. You pray that I'm a grandparent, wouldn't die, and your prayer wasn't answered. You've been out of work. You have developed a chronic illness, and it's taken a toll on your faith. And you've come to the conclusion that God doesn't answer prayer. Or at least he doesn't answer it for you. I know, sometimes I see, prayers being answered for other people, and I'm like, well, Lord, you're not answering my prayers. Come on. And you try to play God yourself. Let me ask you another question. When is the last time you were literally on your knees, broken before the Lord, allowing him to break up that ground? Now, third, the thorns must be gathered and burned. What kinds of thorns make the fields of our hearts unproductive? In the parable of the sower, Jesus uses the thorns in a field to describe our hearts. Depending on your plot of fallow ground, these thorns may represent a self-indulgence, pride, anger, being selfish, lust, sexual temptations, a love of entertainment, a love of recreation, addictions, greed, or other thorns. Each of these thorns chokes the word of God from really getting into your heart. And each of them has a devastating effect on the crop that God wants to grow inside of your heart. We must root them out instead of holding on to them and sealing them off. Now, fallow ground is unplowed, unprepared soil, and it is unusable for any serious crop. God speaks to us that we must break up our fallow ground so that it is unusable. Now, I want to talk to you about a few things on how we can not get to that point, and how we can really watch ourselves not to get to that point. This is really what the Lord's been working in me on, and I wanted to share it with you today. Now, first of all, we must become hard to offend. It's hard for really the Lord to work in you or the Holy Spirit to move in you when you have all these stumps and roots and you have these places that are closed off. The enemy will get you non-effective with those stumps. All the enemy wants to do is to steal your effectiveness. Your offense, it gives the enemy an open door to attack you. We have to be patient, though, with people. We have to be patient with God. One thing that he's really showed me is we got to be quick to forgive. We have to be meek, and we have to be slow to lash out. Now, I know a lot of you know me and have known me for a long time. I've had a lot of stuff happen to me, like as I've grown up, and I was one of those people that was very quick to lash out on Facebook. I'd get on there and I'd write, and my dad would always say, "Think before you post on Facebook." And I did not do that. I would just get on there angrily and, I'd lash out. Does acting quick out of anger solve anything? No. And this really brought me to something that was really hard for me to do. And I had to get up every morning and, before I went to bed every night, I had to go through and I had to write a list of people that I could talk to in the day. And I had to forgive each and every person for anything. Did anything, but I might have got, angry at them. But by me holding that unforgiveness, it put those roots and it puts those stumps in me. So I had to repent of holding the unforgiveness, and I had to forgive these people every morning and every day. Even if it was years ago, even if it was people that I knew that I just didn't forgive. And the Lord really told me that I had to show grace to these people. You don't know where someone's at, when they lash out at you. Like when I lashed out at people, it was because I was hurt. I had deep hurt. But it wasn't the person that I was dealing with. It was the thing that I was struggling with. You don't know what they're struggling with. Be slow to anger because you never know where they're at. Now, second, we need to be an open vessel for the Holy Spirit. And I know, my dad has really, talked hard on these last few weeks about, the Holy Spirit, getting real. But when we allow those things to cling on to us that like hold us down, we operate out of a spirit of tiredness and a spirit of just hurt. We got to get back on our knees and allow love to abound rather than the iniquity and strife that comes with a spirit of tiredness. In Matthew 24:12, it says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And really, I believe that's what we're seeing today as a byproduct of holding all this unforgiveness. You see everyone. Everyone's just offended. We have become the offended generation. Because of our offense and our sin, we have waxed cold. As a result, like we've talked about, you know, like prayer's dead, real fervent prayer on our knees, weeping before the Lord for hours and hours a day, it's dead in most cases. It's really rare to see people living out the scriptures. Now, you know, like we might see people like half living the scriptures, or, you know, like they know some, you know, like they know like the Ten Commandments or something, but like no one really, you know, when I go to do something, and this is really something my dad and my mom have taught me, like when I go to do something, is this lining up with the Word of God? You know, like a WWJD, you know, saying, "What would Jesus do?" And that's really something that I try to do in my own life. Children are really turning to everything but the Lord, and I think that's a byproduct of the church not like stepping up and being the church. And this is something that I've experienced personally, like being in the church, was I turned to everything else but the church. My children are turning to pornography, they're turning to drugs, and they're turning to alcohol. This one really, really hurts me because, you know, like we have this youth group now, and I deal with these kids, and I'm in contact with a lot of these people. And I don't know many kids that aren't on drugs, aren't watching pornography, and aren't drinking alcohol. And I feel like we've become lax, and it just really hurts me. It really hurts my heart, and because I was at that point where I didn't care, and then the Lord really, really spoke to me one day and was like, he showed me all these kids, and you know, like these kids, they come in the youth group, and I know they're watching pornography, and I know they're drinking alcohol and on drugs, and it's just like, and the Lord told me, "What are you doing? What are you doing to change that?" And it really hit me, and I repented of not acting, and not really like surrendering to like what the Lord wanted, which is what this sermon is about. And with that, no one really cares about, you know, like when people die, you know, the majority of people go to hell. And I'm just going to be real with you. Like my dad talks about, you know, like narrow is the way that leads to salvation. And, you know, like all these people have been dying, you know, like we've had all these deaths, and it's like, I was up one night, and it was the night that that Bruce Merchant died. Just a few weeks ago, there was that really bad car accident. I didn't know why I was up. And I woke up the next morning, I had slept probably 2 hours, and I had heard on Facebook, you know, there was a bad accident. And I wept. It really hurts me because when you go to a funeral and, you know, you hear everybody saying, "Oh, we'll see him in heaven one day." And then you ask, you know, like the family, and you ask the people that know him, like, did they attend church? Did they talk about Jesus? Did they know the Lord? And in most cases, no. In most cases, it's no. And it's just really, really painful to watch. Another thing is that the spirit of the world, and like my dad, you know, I talked about last week, the spirit of the world and the spirit of Jezebel, it's in more Christians and in more churches now than it should be. Culture has more of a pull on Christianity than the Bible itself does. We talk, we act, and we think more like the world than sometimes the world itself does. You know, in my life, I've met more people, more people outside of the church that acted in more grace than the people inside of the church acted in grace. And it's really difficult. We should be the ones that not influencing culture. We should be the ones influencing people and allowing God to change people through us, rather than culture influencing us and the enemy to get into our minds and to change our thinking. And the things that are being taught to the kids in school is real hard evidence of the heart of the world, really. Evolution is being pumped into their brains, and this is something that I've been passionate about for a long time. Ever since I was like 12, I got real into, you know, like the evolution and creation deal, and we should be going into the schools and pleading and like going into the courts and getting this out of the textbooks, because it's the problem with the kids is, you know, like they're being told they're animals and they're acting like it. They're really acting like it. But what I've noticed in the church is we care more about our careers. We care more about our personal accomplishments and our own little ministries that make us feel good, but it's not changing the outside, rather than the things that God wants. We don't want the true heart of God as a body of Christ in a whole. I know a lot of people in here, and I know most of you, and like probably all of you, you really want like the true heart of God, but I'm talking about the body of Christ in the world. And back to the careers thing. I tell people, well, like when they come get ice cream, you know, like they ask me what I'm going to do, and they go, you know, like, what are you going to do? You know, like, you got this business, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be a pastor. I want to get people to heaven. And, you know, like, a lot of people, they're like, oh, and, like, they walk away. It's like, yeah, and you have your cars, you have your house, you have your nice little, your nice little job, your nice little, you know, you got everything all together. But really, to be frank, that's not going to be there in 80, you know, like in 60, 80 years, that's all going to be gone. I tell people, I want to do something that lasts. I want to, my heart cry ever since I was a kid, I want to do something that is going to last eternity. So that's why I chose to be a pastor like my dad. And if we want the true heart of God, if we want revival, we need to get rid of our roots, but we need to get rid of our idols. Our idols have been TV, our idols have been social media, our idols are secular music, our secular books, and secular cultural trends. I'm in contact with quite a few Christians, and I might meet one or two Christians in my whole life, maybe three, that don't listen to secular music and don't listen to what the world has to say about things rather than what the Bible has to say about things. And it's like, we're looking in the wrong places. And we're all confused as to why people are depressed, why people are anxious. I have these people come to me and they're like, I'm really depressed, I'm down, I'm scared, I don't know what to do, I'm at my wit's end. And I always ask them a couple questions. Are you in prayer? Like, really in prayer? And what are you consuming? It says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that isn't just, like, what the mouth speaks, but I believe that's the way you act. What you consume affects the way you act. And we act so surprised when we don't feel right. Like when we're depressed, when we're scared. But we're getting help from Satan himself, really. We got to get real. And, you know, like my dad, like he talked about this last week, and I had written this, like, before the sermon that he did. He actually didn't even prepare that sermon when he just spoke and we didn't do worship. He just spoke. And I really think that me and my family and like a few people that we're really close to, we are all in the same, we're all in agreement that the Lord's coming back soon. We don't have much time. We really don't. This is urgent, urgent, urgent on my heart. And I don't sleep. I really don't. And I haven't been for a long time. There are too many people that need Jesus Christ for us to be preoccupied with these thorns and preoccupied with the enemy's lies. Like I said before in my last sermon, the enemy's goal is for us to be divided. And in that way, he can conquer us. Because when we're all off by ourselves, he's done his job. Because we can't function as the true church when we are all disunited. The enemy wants us distracted so we cannot walk in the fullness of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In my time with God, in my prayer time, during the quarantine, the Lord really told me that I wasn't praying and I wasn't seeking him. And it really convicted me. I thought I was, but I wasn't. And so now every morning and every night, I try to take at least 2 hours a day to pray. And this is what he's really told me, these two things. He told me about this first one. I'm coming soon. Seek me and I'll tell you what to do. Don't seek other people. Don't seek men. Seek me, my word, my spirit. I'll tell you what to do. And the second thing, this one's huge. I, the Lord, do all things. I, the Lord, do all things. Now, I didn't really know what that meant when he told me it, but it just kept ringing in my head and in my heart. Are we giving up everything to God like he really does do all things? Are we surrendering our health, our jobs, our relationships, our minds? Have we come to that full place of surrender for relying on the Lord in every single step that we take? Or are we going to the world? Are we going to those TV shows? Are we going to those things that make us feel good, make us feel safe? But really, there's all this stuff going on around us that, the world's really crashing and burning. And let me tell you something about surrender. Surrender isn't a one-time thing. It's not, I get on my knees and I surrender. A surrender is it's a daily choice. Every day we get up. Every day. Every day I get up, the Lord tells me, get on your knees. Lord, I have to make these fries in a half an hour. I gotta go, I gotta pre-fry them, I gotta cut them. Lord, I got 30 minutes. Okay, get on your knees for 25, then go do the fries. Okay, Lord. Am I going to surrender to the Holy Spirit's guidance? Or am I going to cave into the enemy's temptations? Are we holding on to this thing that is holding us back from something that God wants to give to us? Are we holding on to our control so tightly that we aren't allowing the Holy Spirit to speak truth over us and comfort our spirit? I was. I had to come before God and literally say, I surrender. And I thought, Lord, I repent, and I do that. And but before I came to him and I gave him my past hurts, I gave him all those things that I had gone through. I had to go through and forgive anyone, like I said. I had a really bad control issue, and a lot of you know me. You know that I have OCD. I am a clean freak. And that was really evidence of my control issue. And the world will put labels on it. But a lot of times, the things that other world puts labels on, it's really a sin problem. It's really the sin that's within us. And for me, it was my control. So just let go, Let go and let God's Holy Spirit guide you. Come to the altar, drop down your burdens. Let him show you his true heart. Trust me, it's not easy, because once you surrender, all hell's going to break loose on you, let me tell you. Now my last point, and I'm going to I'm going to close here in a minute. It's time for us to get up and move. Lift up your eyes. The Lord's coming. Lord, open my eyes to the things that I can't see. Elisha prayed this for his servants. He prayed that other servants' eyes would be open when they were surrounded by the unseen enemies. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, 2 Corinthians 10:4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Don't you think the enemy wants you?
No.
That's the wrong one. It's all right. It's right. I read it. Don't you think the enemy wants you constantly striving, constantly straining, always worn out in that spirit of tiredness? We need to become a people that fervently prays, fervently seeks the Lord. And by get up and move, I don't mean go and do. I mean get down on your knees and pray and let the Lord work in you. Now in 2 Chronicles, the one you had up before.
See, that's what messed me up.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And that's really a scripture that was coming to my mind during all the quarantine. I thought, I gotta go fight the government. The Lord goes, get on your knees. Get on your knees. Get on your knees. Get on your knees. That's something that the Lord's really told me. Get on your knees. And we're not supposed to carry our burdens alone. You know, we're not created to carry those. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30. A computer person.
I'm sorry.
I'm usually that guy. Yeah, it says, "Come unto me, all that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, that's saying, give it to me. My burden and my yoke is not heavy. We're more loved than we think we are. And the enemy is, you know, like coming at us all the time. I feel like even more. We're worthier than all those lies make us feel what we are. We're never as far away as it may seem we are. Jesus Christ, no matter how hard we are, no matter what we're dealing with, no matter all this, all the stumps, all the roots, all the thorns, he can embrace us, he can pick us up, he can take out those stumps, he can take out those roots, he can take your broken pieces, he can change your life in an instant. All you have to do is surrender. We have to get on our knees and surrender. And that's not out of shame. We don't have to be shameful for getting on our knees. If we have shame, God can take our shame. He can take our guilt. He can take our anger. He can take our fear. He can take our frustration. Whatever thing that's weighing us down, whatever thing we're battling with, whoever hurt you, whoever you need to forgive, all you have to do is give it to God and surrender that. And I'm not going to go through and give you a huge, like, theological answer on how to surrender, you know, like a bullet point and all that. There's no theological answer for how to surrender. It really is personal to each person. And, you know, like people would tell me, you know, like you got to do this to surrender. And really, until the Lord came to me personally and showed me how to surrender, that's when I surrendered. The definition, though, of surrender is to yield to the power, control, or possession of another upon compulsion or demand. Yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. Tell God what's weighing you down. Just, you know, you don't have to go, "Lord, this is really, dear Lord," you know. I heard this thing once. It said, you know, like, why do we say dear Lord? because he's not far away. He's right here. Just tell God what's weighing you down. He's right there with you. You know, and like I said earlier, Jesus is really coming back soon. And if we really knew how soon he was coming back, I think we'd tremble and we'd be, you know, we'd have the fear of God in us. And, you know, like I said earlier, why don't we care that people are going to hell? Why don't we care? Or why don't we care more, I should say? We need to get close to the heart of God before it's too late. And we're going to endure intense persecution. We're going to endure all this tribulation and hardships. Will you be obedient through these tribulations? Now, one thing that we see across all the New Testament, all the Old Testament, the whole Bible, God's hand never forsakes his people. He's going to give you what you need. He's not going to give you, you know, when you go into a situation, the Lord will direct your steps and he'll give you everything you need for each step. Okay, let me ask you one last question and I'm going to close with this. Do you really know God? Just because you come into someone's home doesn't mean you know the owner. If you truly know God, you have much fewer questions because you get them from God himself. You get to know God when you spend hours of intimate time with him. You can't know God without hours of fervent prayer. I'm going to read this quote. It's from Leonard Ravenhill, one of my favorite evangelists. It says, "The secret of prayer is prayer in secret. A sinning man will stop praying, and a praying man will stop sinning. We are bankrupt, but not broken, nor even bent. Prayer is profoundly simple and simply profound. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try, and yet so sublime that it outranges all speech and exhausts men's vocabulary." That's good. So, this whole message, what I'm trying to say here, the Lord wants to become intimate with you. You know, you get that personal relationship, like with the Lord, and you know, you ask him into your heart, but the Lord wants to become so close with you that you rely on him for every single little tiny step you take. And that's really something that the Lord's trying to get with me, and I believe he's trying to get that with you. And we cut ourselves off, you know, we shut off. And as a result of shutting off and cutting ourselves off to everybody, we shut ourselves off to God. And I've realized that's really what I've done in my life, is that I shut off to God. You know, I was wounded, I was hurt, and the Lord just really opened up my heart. And I want to tell you this, and then I'm done. God is not like that person that wounded you. You know? He'll never leave you, and he'll never forsake you. In Psalm 139:8 says, If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. So the Lord's there. The Lord's with you. All he's waiting for you to do is literally get on your knees. And I have this song that Elizabeth is going to play.
As we close with verse 1.
If you want, I know a lot of you might not feel comfortable, but really what the Lord has been teaching me to do is get on my knees. And if you're not able to get on your knees, I know a lot of you aren't able. And if you're not, that's okay. Now get on your knees in your heart. And if you're ready, please get on your knees and allow the Lord to surrender. Allow the Lord to help you surrender. Thank you.
We don't have the words, but I hope you know.
I surrender.
It's a class. Let me just get the words. Okay.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Directing our steps and my steps, my family's steps, through this time that is difficult. While it's difficult, I really feel your hand on me and my family and our church. You've directed us, you've guided us through everything, and I just thank you for being faithful like you always are. I pray that you would help each and every person here, no matter how hurt, no matter how many stumps and roots and thorns they might have, I pray you go into each and every one of their hearts. I pray you would soften their hearts and you would help them each to surrender to your heart and to your will for their life. I pray that you be with them as they go. I pray that you give them a spirit of peace, of the peace that passes all understanding. I thank you, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you.